You might be opening your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25, we'll be looking at some of the verses there as the focus of our lesson this evening. Appreciate the good singing both this morning and tonight. It's interesting how sometimes you don't coordinate, but things work together so well. Although, whenever you talk about Jesus being king, you can't go wrong. So much of the Bible theme surrounds that. We do have some visitors with us, and we're glad that you have come to worship with us tonight, and we hope that you will open your Bibles and your mind and come to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ more clearly. My grandfather, my dad's dad, worked for Firestone Tire Factory in Akron, Ohio. My mother's dad worked for Goodrich Tire, also in Akron, Ohio. I remember going as a kid, whenever we would go visit. First we lived in Indiana, we'd go back to Ohio, and then Illinois, and go back to Ohio. You could smell it. You go into Akron, and you could smell the tires, smell the rubber. Which is not necessarily a pleasant thing, but you could smell it nonetheless. Well, my grandfather retired after 40 years of service with Firestone, and when he did, this is not a picture of the watch, but he got a gold watch. Maybe you've heard of that. That used to be quite common, where someone would spend years and years, and as a token of appreciation, to say, well done, you've been an important part of this company, you would get a gold watch. Actually, I talked to my dad, and he said it actually wasn't gold, it was golden watch. And it's not working anymore. But it was the thought. The thought was, you know, well done. You know, thank you for being a part of our company. Well, you don't really hear that so much anymore because companies have kind of changed. Today you might hear, thank you very much, but in our restructuring, you are no longer needed. There's not the loyalty, both by the employer or by the employee, as there used to be. When it comes to the work of the Lord, there are no layoffs. In fact, there are no retirements in this life. The Lord's work needs to continually be done. There are people who are in sin, and they need to be saved. They need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there are Christians that need to be encouraged, that need to be edified. So the work of the Lord is never really done. But there may be a day, in fact, there will be a day, when Jesus says to his servants, well done. And I would like for us to focus in on that phrase that Jesus uses, well done, good and faithful servant. And the reason why I chose this lesson in particular, looking at the judgment day scene of Jesus with his servants, is because, as this morning, we need to have perspective. We need to see the long term. We need to see the big picture. We are servants of the Lord. We are citizens within the kingdom of God, and our work continues. Our work will continue until the day that we die or until the day that Jesus returns. And so we need to not get discouraged, not get depressed, not get distracted by what's happening on this earth, but we need to keep working hard for the Lord. So, we're going to focus in on this, well done, good and faithful servant. This implies that we can be useful in the service of God. Notice in the parable that Jesus tells, we'll pick up the reading here, chapter 25 of Matthew, beginning with verse 14. Jesus says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on his journey." Remember when this was said by Jesus. This is in the last week of his life. This is probably Tuesday before he dies later on Friday this week. So it's just a couple of days, just a few days before his death. And in this last week, he is particularly spending a lot of time preparing his disciples, preparing his apostles for his departure and what his departure is going to mean. So he tells this parable to help them to understand that they are about to enter into a new phase of the work that he has done. He has been working while he's here on the earth. He is about to die on the cross for the salvation of the sins of mankind. He is going to be resurrected from the dead. And then he was going to a far country. Very, very short period of time from now. And the apostles need to know, the disciples need to know, what happens next? What are we supposed to be doing? And so he helps them to see that in verse 15, he is going to deliver his goods to them. He gives 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went into another country. This parable became a reality because Jesus Christ did die. He was resurrected. And notice, let's jump ahead here to the 28th chapter, verse 18, which we quoted this morning. But we want to continue that when it says in verse 18, Matthew 28, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now, what are they supposed to do? Because this is actually, as he is going to ascend back to the Father, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This responsibility is given to the apostles. Jesus is going to be sitting upon the throne, and the apostles are going to need to go out and make disciples of Jesus. He was no longer going to be able to do it. And they were going to do it by teaching the message of Jesus, by persuading men and women to come and bow the knee to Jesus Christ. But the fact is, all of the apostles are dead. They've been dead a long time. So that charter, that work that needs to be done has been passed down from generation to generation to generation, and it now falls upon us. I mean, the kingdom of the Lord is a generation from extinction. If we don't work, if we don't continue to spread that message. In Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 23 through 25, once again, this image of Jesus being at the right hand of God is portrayed for us. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 20, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over the church, over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now, this is emphasizing the position of Jesus that he is in right now. He's at the right hand of God. He's in the position of authority, but he's not here on the earth. But toward the end of this reading, verse 23, he introduces something he's going to develop more, and that is, we are his body. What does a body do? A body is supposed to work. Now, it takes its direction from the head, but the body is supposed to be coordinated in its efforts to do the work of the head. Jesus is in the heavens now. Jesus is at the right hand of God, but his body is on the earth, or at least those that are alive right now, those of us are part of the church of the Lord, we are the body of Christ. And as the body of Christ, just as in this parable that he told, we are those 5 talent, 2 talent, 1 talent individuals who, according to their ability, are given, according to our ability, are given opportunities to do the work of the Lord while we are here. It is important for us to not be distracted from that. We have so many things going on in this world. We have, as we've talked about, this election that's going on. And all of the details swirling and what's going to happen and how's it going to turn out. And we don't know how the election is going to turn out. But we do know one thing. The work of the Lord is going to need to be done. In fact, perhaps even more so, even in more danger, even in more difficulty. It has been increasingly difficult for us to stand for the truth. The morality of our country is continually going downward, not upward. And that trend may very well continue. We need to be lights in this world. As a matter of fact, Jesus says in the book of Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount when he's talking about his kingdom. And he begins by talking about the qualities of their heart in the Beatitude. But right after that, he says in verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. Not you might be, you will be, you can be. But if you have these qualities, if you're part of the kingdom of heaven, you are the salt of the earth. But if its salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. And this world needs to see the light of Christ. This world needs to see morality reflected in our lives. This world needs to see clean speech from our mouths. This world needs to see a respect for marriage in our marriages, in our life. Respect for the family as God has ordained it in our lives, in our families. This world needs to see with our mouths as we speak it and with our lives as we live it a reflection of the truth of Jesus Christ. Because we are in a crisis in our country. I'm not talking politically, I'm talking spiritually. We need to get the message of Jesus Christ out. Jesus is at the right hand of God. We are His foot soldiers. It is our job to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ to this world. That's what he's trying to illustrate for us in this parable in Matthew chapter 25. But let's go back to that parable, chapter 25. That when Jesus returns, he is going to call these three of his servants together. And notice what he says to the first two of them, verse 21. The Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also says in verse 23, the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Each of them had completed the task because Jesus said, well done. There was no more time to work. There were no more tasks to accomplish. There were no more people to teach. There was no more edifying of the body to be done. On the day of judgment, it's over. I mean, there's a job that needs to be done. And then there's the, well, I agree to do this job. And then there's the beginning of fulfilling that. And then there's the carrying out of that job and becoming better and more efficient at that job. But at some point, we're done. And that point is the judgment day. Not before the judgment day, not before we leave this life, but the judgment day is going to be the day in which it is done. What if my grandfather had gone into his foreman's office after working for 6 months and said, hey, I'm committed to this job for 40 years. So could you give me my watch now? I'd like to have my watch now. His foreman would say, get to work. You're not done yet. You're doing now, but you're not done yet. Jesus is going to come back someday. He's illustrating here in his parable. And it is that time when he comes back that we're done. Paul perhaps is an illustration of this. The apostle Paul was on the road to Damascus about 38 or so A.D., he saw Jesus risen, and he decides that he's been wrong religiously. He's going to be converted to Jesus Christ. And in fact, he begins. He's baptized into Christ, and he begins to teach and to preach. And he does a lot of work. He does a lot so that the message of Jesus Christ can be spread and so that the church is built up. Notice that was about 38 or so A.D. Notice about 62 or so A.D., he writes the book of Philippians. And in chapter 3, notice what he has to say. And it's interesting that in the letter to the Philippians, he is in jail. And he is facing a trial where he is not sure whether or not he's going to live or die, although he had confidence that he was going to live because he said, I have more things to do. But his attitude was, here in Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 11, he says, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. The Apostle Paul said, I'm not finished yet. I've got more work to do. We don't have a retirement plan here on this earth where we can quit. The Apostle Paul had to continue to press on even as he had done a great deal of work. What if the Apostle Paul, when he was in prison, had gotten discouraged and said, listen, this Roman Empire is just so bad and the people around me are so bad and all of this crime and corruption and immorality is so bad that I can't do anything about it and so I just quit. What if the Apostle Paul had quit in 62 A.D., sitting there in prison? Well, he wouldn't be able to write the words that he wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 4, a few years later, when he was in prison for the second time, and he says, I am already poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. So now he is going to die. I have fought the good fight. Past tense. I have finished the race. Past tense. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Paul was looking forward to the words of Jesus when Jesus would say, well done. You have finished. You have finished because you have been faithful unto me until the time that you have died. We also need to hear those words, well done. Notice also that Jesus describes this done, this verb, this action, as well done. As Noah and I were talking about, Noah is a stickler on the word well and good. If you ask him, how are you doing? He won't say, I am doing good. He would say, I am doing well. Because well is an adverb of how you are, as well is an adverb of how you've done. Well is not an adjective of how good we are, but is of what we have done. If that makes any sense, please correct me if I'm wrong. No, or correct Noah if he's wrong, because he's the one that gave me my my English direction here. Well, we have done well. It's an adverb. It's how we have done. Jesus is going to describe us in this way. We look again here in chapter 25 of Matthew, and in verse 21, and he says the exact same thing in verse 23, where he says, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. We are good servants. We are faithful servants. Those are adjectives of who we are. But well is an adverb of what we have done. We have done well. So he's not saying that you can do good enough. You can do almost well. You can do kind of what you're supposed to do. But you need to complete the task and you need to do it with all of your might. Notice in contrast to that, he says in verse 26, but his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I have not scattered seed. Therefore, you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, that at my coming I would receive back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and him that he may have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. God demands and God deserves our very best effort. He needs for us to be committed to the task. He needs us to start the task. He needs us to grow in the task so that we become more efficient. And He needs us to finish the task. He needs for us to get done and for us to get done well. Because the cause not only deserves it, or not only demands it, but deserves it. I mean, look at what the Father did. Before the foundation of the world, He had a plan to redeem man from sin, and He worked all through the centuries so that man could be saved from sin. Look at what Jesus did. Jesus came to this earth. He became a human being. He lived, and He worked, and He struggled, and He taught, and He did miracles, and He died, and He was resurrected, and He ascended back into the heaven. A tremendous amount of work. Look at what the Spirit has done. All the way back with Moses, He revealed the words of God, the details of the plan that God has for mankind, and how God in His love made promises through Abraham and through the nation of Israel, and revealed through the prophets who the Messiah would be, and is revealed for us in the New Testament who Jesus was in the four Gospels and what it all means to us in Acts through the book of Revelation. Look at the work the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit has done. And now God says, join us. Join us in spreading this message. God is not shouting it from the heavens. Jesus is not shouting us at His message from the right hand of God. The Holy Spirit is not revealing any new messages. We, as partners of God, have the responsibility to get the job done because our Master is in a far country. And when He comes back, He's going to assess whether or not we have done well, or whether or not we have been lazy, whether or not we have been unprofitable. It is interesting that both the five-talent man, who gained five more talents, so he has 10, and the two-talent man, who gained two more, so he has 4, so one has 10, the other has 4, but he says exactly the same thing to both. Exactly the same, word for word, exactly the same thing for both. God is not asking all of us to do exactly the same amount of work, because some of us have more talent than others. He is asking each of us, based upon the talents that we have, based upon the opportunities that come our way, to do well, to finish the task that God wants us to do. Those expectations are for us, not to be adequately done, but to be well done. Anything less is not well. So, I would imagine for my grandfather, one of the motivations that he had to stick with his job for 40 years was because he believed he was doing something bigger than himself. He was putting the nation on the highway by building tires for them. And I'm sure that motivated him. I'm also sure that it motivated him that he could see the end goal, that he would receive that well done, that he would receive that gold watch, that he could retire one day with the satisfaction that he had finished the task. We also can look at the work that we have been given by God, knowing that it is something bigger than us. We are able to participate in the changing of eternity for the souls around us. We can encourage people to be justified from their sins by bringing them to Christ. We can help to edify our brothers and sisters in Christ so that they might be more mature, so that they can also go out and proclaim the message and extol righteousness in their lives. And we can have the end goal in mind. And that is, could you imagine that? Have you ever thought about that? Standing on the day of judgment and having Jesus say, well done, Jeff. Not the elder saying it, that'd be nice. Not the member saying it, that'd be real nice. Not your spouse saying it, that'd be real nice. But the King, Jesus, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. I want to hear those words. If you're not a Christian, You can't hear Him if you don't get busy and get to work in the kingdom of the Lord. You've got to become a Christian. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Confess His name and be baptized, born again, so that you can be a child of God. So that you can get to work in the greatest work in the history of the world. And that is for the salvation of mankind. If you're not a Christian, we encourage you to become one. If you are one, for some reason have gotten distracted and gotten back into this world, come back to the Lord tonight while we stand and sing.